The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Respected brothers, sisters, we've gathered here this evening for commemorating the Shahada anniversary of our ninth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Jawad al-Taqi. And on this occasion, I want to express my condolences to the living Imam, the Imam of our time, Ajallahu Farjahu al-Sharif, and to all the lovers and the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam was martyred when Imam Muhammad al-Jawad was only, according to some reports, 7 or some say 8 years old. And in doing this, when this happened, Imam Muhammad al-Jawad became the youngest of the Imams. Never before was there an Imam who was that age when he became the Imam. And this was something that was new for the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, that somebody who other people would consider to be a child, other people would consider that age of 7 or 8 to be an age which is immature. And here, the Shias were instructed very clearly from Imam Ridha alayhi salam that after me, the Hujjah of Allah on the earth is my son Muhammad, Abu Ja'far. He's the one who is going to be your Imam. Now, there are some people who might look at this and say that, well, you know, isn't this something which is kind of like maybe, na'udhu billah, something to be a little bit shy about telling other people that one of our Imams became the Imam at the age of 7 or 8? Some people might think that. Because after all, usually people who become leaders are mature. You know, at least, let's say, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, when they've experienced, that's typically the way that they are. What happened here? Why is it that this happened, that a child is being put there? Is that something that we need to maybe be shy about telling others about and maybe, you know, kind of not look into it too much? Actually, brothers and sisters, one of the sources of pride for the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is that among the Imams, there were not just one, not just two, but there was 3 of them who became the Imam at a very young age. The 9th Imam, the 10th Imam, and the Imam of our time. And this is the point of pride. And inshallah, I want to look at this. Like, what is it? How can we understand this? Because sometimes we get confused. You know, you might see this when we do salah. When we have somebody who is a child who's not baligh, some people get really like kind of excited. They're like, oh no, there's a child who's not baligh, right? We need to make sure that there's somebody else who's the point of connection for them. Right? Why is that? Because sometimes there's this conception that, okay, if a child's not baligh, they can't even hold a connection in jama'ah. Now, you know that the correct hukum, the correct ruling on that is that if a child is mumayyiz for salah, meaning that they know how to pray, right? They know what prayer is about and they know how to pray, they can be a connection in salatul jama'ah. But we have many rulings in Islam which say that if somebody is not baligh, then they cannot perform this responsibility. For example, let's say that there is a child who has a lot of property. They themselves do not have, like if they go and let's say they want to sell something like a large sum of money, they want to, I don't know, buy some Bitcoin or something like that. That, according to Islam, it would not be a valid transaction. Why? Because the child is not baligh. In Islam, let's say that there's Islamic law, let's say that there's a group of children who are not baligh. Let's say there's a group of boys who are, let's say, you know, from, you know, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Is it allowed for one of them, and it's time comes for prayers, is it allowed for one of them to come and lead the prayers for the others? Islamic law says that the only one who is qualified to lead the prayers for a group is one who is baligh. Even if you don't have a baligh person there, it's not correct according to the maraji that one of them should step forward and he should lead for the others. That's how important it is for somebody to be baligh according to Islamic law. So sometimes when, you know, this is those who grow up and they understand the laws, right? They come to this like, wait, but we have imams who, for example, the imam of our time at 5 years old, Imam Jawad at 7, you know, so these are things which bring up questions. One thing I want to state here is that these laws that we learn, they are general laws, but when it comes to these matters, when it comes to the matter of who is it that has the authority, when it comes to who is going to be the leader, when somebody is ma'asum, and that isma is something which is granted by Allah, then that person is accepted from these types of rules. And what is the proof from this? For this, it comes from the Quran itself. The Quran teaches us that at times throughout history, Allah has made a child be the representative of His on the earth. We have the example of Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. We have the example of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. There was one time where one of the companions, his name was Ali ibn Asbat. Ali ibn Asbat was from Egypt. He had traveled all the way to, I believe it was Medina, to see Imam Muhammad al-Jawad alayhi salam. And when he comes to see him, he's looking at him in a lot of detail. He's trying to like almost memorize everything that he's seeing. Now why is he doing this? The hadith says, he says to Imam Muhammad al-Jawad, he says that when I go back to Egypt, I want to be able to describe for the people exactly what I've seen. I want to be able to tell them everything that I saw, all your features, everything about you. And at that point, Imam Muhammad Jawad, he knows what is going on in Ali ibn Asbat's mind. That he's going to have to go to Egypt and he's going to have to educate the Shias who are there that your Imam, you know, now that Imam Ridha alayhi salam has been martyred, now your Imam is going to be somebody who you might think is just a child. You might think that it's an age which is immature, but that's not the case. So in that gathering with Ali ibn Asbat, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he goes into sujood and he makes a dua. And then he quotes a couple of the ayat of the Quran. One of the ayats he quotes is the verse about Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ الصَّبِيَّةِ. Allah said in the Quran that we gave him the hukm. The hukm in the Quran, sometimes it refers to the authority of prophethood. In this case, that's what it is. We gave him the authority of prophethood when he was a sabi, he was just a child. And then he quotes another verse from the Quran. Hatta idha balagha ashuddahu wa balagha arba'ina sana. He says that that sometimes Allah chooses to give hikmah and wisdom to somebody who is arba'in sana, somebody who is 40 years old. But typically, if somebody is going through the proper process of tarbiyah, they are following the sharia, they are reflecting, they are learning, then they go through a process of maturing, and that process, it hits its peak at 40 years old, typically. But the Imam Jawad says that sometimes Allah chooses to give that hukm at an earlier age as well. So he uses the Quran to show that this is the way it is, that even when Allah chooses, there can be somebody who is even at a younger age, and that person can become the Imam. Now why? What is the philosophy behind this? This is very interesting. Why is it that Allah wanted to arrange things this way? One of the reasons why, according to the historians, the expert scholars who have analyzed, you know, the incidents that took place, one of the reasons why Allah chose to put the imamah in somebody who was that young was because it was a test for the people. When they're commanded to follow some and do something that they didn't expect, how are they going to, you know, how are they going to react? One of the things we find in history is that for the most part, all of the Shias who followed Imam Ridha alayhi salam, eventually they followed Imam Muhammad Jawad, Eventually they followed Imam al-Hadi, eventually all the way, Imam Askari, all the way until the Imam of the time. So for the most part, that they were tested and then they passed that test. And this was something that Allah wanted as a blessing for them, right? It's something which is good for them to be tested in that manner. But it's very interesting if we look at some of the other reasons why Allah wanted to do this. One of them is because Allah wants it to be the case that people very clearly know that Imam Muhammad al-Jawad alayhi salam is the Imam. Now, what is the way that they are going to know that? When the Abbasid Khulafa are, you know, just clamping down so tight on the Shias, they're controlling access to the Imams. How is it they're going to know? One of the ways that they'll know is when they see that somebody who is so young, he's performing miraculous acts, then they'll be convinced that, okay, this is not coming just to something that he learned by himself. Definitely this is coming from a higher source. And we see this in the life of the Imam.
السلام عليك يا محمد بن علي أيها الجواد يا ابن رسول